A podcast of the cinema.
I feel like I swallowed the title there. Linoleum Knife.
Linoleum Knife.
Linoleum Knife.
Linoleum Knife.
All right.
You're Dave White. I'm Alonzo Duraldi. We're film critics. We're husbands. We do this podcast. We've been doing this podcast. We will continue to do this podcast.
don't be that person, please. I start back writing reviews this week.
Yes.
After 15 months.
Yes.
It's very exciting to me. It's the one thing I have to look forward to besides this mug.
Whatever gets you through the
That's
day.
That's really it. Like, it's been it's not been a great 24 hours. My back and legs are destroyed. I'm in absolute unpleasant body feeling. So much so that a friend just gave me this book by that guy, Dr. Sarno, about how to heal your back pain.
Yes.
And I just think, there's no way in hell that, you know, repressed anger, which I barely repress.
I was going to say, would that you would.
Apparently, that's my problem. Now, I haven't read the book yet, so I could be completely mischaracterizing what this person
and
is telling
me. A lot of people have benefited from this. So it's like, clearly, it's working for a lot of folks. Whether or not it works for you remains to be seen. We'll see how that goes.
All I know is that I will be missing a post-vaccination, the very first post-vaccination friend pool party today because I hurt too much.
Well, I'm very sorry about that.
I know. You'll be representing. I feel bad about not going. But I'm not going because it hurts. Also, I lost my wedding ring down the garbage disposal. I didn't lose it.
No, you fished it out.
I fished it out. And I have very small hands. But
they're yours.
There was so much goopy food mess down there waiting to be disposed. Mm. And the wedding ring just went plop right down into it. I took it off to wash my hands.
Right.
You know, I don't like wet wedding ring finger. I'm phobic about that.
I lift mine a little bit and dry under it and then push it back into place and it seems to work out.
That's not good enough. I have to remove it, dry the hand, dry the ring, then put it back on. And then in the process, I dropped it down the garbage disposal.
Here's the thing no
so
one tells
that
you.
And the fact that my body is disintegrating.
Right.
This is... Everything's bad.
I'm sorry.
The only good thing is this new mug from the friend who gave us... I got a birthday gift. You got a birthday gift.
Yeah.
Of a Yeti travel mug.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is... It sounds like I'm doing a commercial. I am not doing a commercial.
If Yeti wants to sponsor,
I promise,
we're wide
if they want
to that,
drop some advertising dollars our way, we would be...
We might even do it for product.
pretty much, yeah. This mug is insane. This mug is made of metal.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm thinking, how the hell am I going to drink tea out of a metal mug? It's going to scald my hand right off.
Oh, no.
It is cool to the touch on the outside. Something technological is inside this mug.
It is insulated.
Something very technological is inside this mug, and it's making the outside very cool.
The hot
and the
side
inside,
is hot and
the inside keeps the tea hot for an hour. An hour. It's insane.
Going back to wedding rings.
Thank you for the birthday gift, friend. You know who you are.
Thank you for that. Here's the thing no one tells you about wedding rings. They become the gauge that tell you how fat you're getting. Because your finger changes size as the rest of you changes size.
Your fingers get fatter too.
And the ring just clamps onto the bottom. And then before you know it, you have this
you have a ridge.
This inlaid
a permanent indentation.
Ridge letting you know what your finger used to look like.
Back in the day, you were smaller.
When you, yes.
You could fit in an old-timey movie theater seat. No, you can't.
It's like, thanks for the concert reminder, ring.
So we went out to movies.
Yes.
This week for the very first time. Oh, and by the way, I should clarify. My birthday isn't now. It's next week.
Yes. Coming up.
Because the minute you say something like that, people are like, happy birthday. And you're like, it's not happening yet.
Not yet.
This is an early birthday gift. Yes. This gorgeous, gorgeous Yeti mug. It's very masculine, too. It's
very totes masculine.
I sip tea out of the daintiest lady teacups sometimes.
Yes.
And
your Maggie Smith collection china.
And we'll never stop. Let's just keep that clear. This tea makes me feel like I'm going to... This mug makes me feel like I'm just like storm the Capitol or something.
Yeah, that's like an ice road trucker mug. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what you find on their on their very manly dashboard, keeping their hot beverages hot.
I saw two films in a movie theater this week. You saw one.
Yes.
I went without you.
Yes.
With our friend Brian to the AMC Century City 15. Where Maria Menounos, Maria Menounos, and something called Nuvi,
yes,
welcomes you back. Welcome back to the movies, everybody.
She runs a podcasting empire. Just you know.
She is always working.
I have been in the studio of her podcasting empire. There's a lot going on over there. I was on Ileana Douglas's show.
Yeah.
And that is part of the Maria Menounos podcasting empire.
Yeah, well, good for her. She's, like I said, she's always working.
Mm-hmm.
She's on screen with Nuvi.
Yeah.
I like Maria Menounos just fine. Don't know what a Nuvi is supposed to be. And I... They had an anthropomorphic talking digital marmot in their ad.
As you do.
Saying, you know, hey, everybody, you're at the movies. Come to Nuvi. We have the, and I'm not, this is not a paraphrase. This is a quote. Low key, the dankest movie content on the interweb. They spent a year when no one was at the movies.
Crafting.
Coming up with that.
Mm.
Slang that even I know is from the year 2017.
Yes.
And I'm an old person who doesn't ever speak this way, but I keep current. I know what's happening. If a young person speaks to me in the
you know that Chugi is already over.
I also know what Chugi is and how it's already over.
Yes.
When a young person speaks to me in the vernacular of their peers, I know what they're saying to me.
Yes.
And I say, see here, young man. Don't come at me like that, please. I had my mask on the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Did I bury the lead? I saw Dream Horse.
You buried the lead, yes. Before we get into
after
this.
After such longing, after so many months
this was the one thing
of longing.
For the whole pandemic, you're like, when do I get to see Dream Horse? Did they make you wear a mask or did you voluntarily wear a mask?
Well, there is a mask mandate in businesses in Los Angeles until June 15th.
Okay, so that's where we are right now.
So you are expected to wear your mask during the movie. There were about half a dozen other people in the theater with us. Mm-hmm. They do make you sit apart from each other. Like you buy a ticket and then the other seats around you become unopen.
Right.
You know.
And the concession stand was open, so you could eat.
Concession stand was open, but the magic Coke machine was not. Like you could get a cup from them and then hand it to another employee who would then go operate the magic Coke machine for you, which defeats the purpose of the magic Coke machine.
Yeah, I'm baffled as to why suddenly a touch screen is considered verboten when we we're pretty clear now this is an airborne thing right. and not a service.
Well, AMC thing. Is very guilty of some pretty wacky hygiene theater.
I see.
And it's fine. It's all going to be done in about 2 weeks.
Sure.
But in terms of what they're, you know, having to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kept my mask on during the entire film. Other folks in the theater I could sort of see were not doing quite that that thing. I was like, I'm vaccinated, so if y'all don't want to wear your mask, I guess I don't care.
I guess I care about you more than you care about
exactly.
me.
I'm a good citizen. Yes. I obey the rules.
Mm.
I do things that you're supposed to do.
Yes.
So,
give people some background as to why DreamWorks is such a major event. Well, hang on.
I have some more things to talk about regarding Nuvie.
Oh, yes, clearly. That's
I went home and returned to Twitter after a long hiatus. I had not been doing much on Twitter lately. And I mentioned how Nuvie and their digital marmot said that they were the dankest movie content. Nuvie was very happy about this.
Mm.
And they like started talking to me and stuff. And I was, and when they did, I just responded, no.
Was it the marmot?
Do not get, no, well, it was a recent college grad marmot, probably. And I was like, no, we ain't friends. I'm not extolling the virtues of Nuvie. You guys are not giving me anything I ever want to participate in.
Yeah.
But I sure did see like 7 ads from you before the movie started, before my dream horse came back to me.
I don't know if it was Nuvie the last time I was subjected to that at an AMC theater, but yeah, they make you sit through like, what, 30 or 40 minutes?
No, not that much.
Well, I mean, it's like 20 minutes. Depending on when you get there.
It's like 20 minutes of, well, okay, pre-show?
Yes.
Pre-ads?
Before the trailers.
Oh, that stuff is not, no. That was not the Nuvie stuff.
Okay.
That stuff was all just like, you know.
Because it's always like clips from TBS series you'll never watch.
Right.
And then the cavalcade of trailers.
Right. It's about, from the time the film
time, supposed to like, start.
If it movie starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon,
yeah,
your film will begin at about 1:20.
Okay.
Roughly.
Yeah.
It's about 20 minutes of stuff.
Sure.
Trailers, lots of trailers, and then ads, and then the digital marmot. And
is
Maria
he, is
and
his
Maria
name
Menounos,
Nuvie?
Maria Menounos welcomed me back personally to
oh,
the movies.
Oh, well, that was sweet of her.
That was nice of her.
Is the marmot named Nuvie? Or does it have a different name?
If it had a name, I didn't pay attention. There was a different, I think there was another marmot in the spot talking to the marmot that.
Is it like Dylan McMarmot or something?
Yes.
And then Marmot Dulroney?
Dylan McMarmot. That's Marmot Mulroney.
Yeah.
Good one.
I'm giving you
Thanks.
These ideas,
Thank
Maria
you.
Menounos, for free.
Thank you. Thank you for the ideas. All right, so back in 2019,
yes,
late 2019, early January 2020,
yes,
I started seeing trailers for DreamWorks. Now, y'all know, you've been listening to this show long enough, or maybe you're new. If you're new,
here's a thing you didn't know about Dave.
Thing you didn't know about me. No such thing as a bad horse movie. Do I want to be near a horse in real life? No. I rode on one once when I was about 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a good time doing that. Terrifying animals. They're gorgeous, but do I want to be near them?
Even when you're
in person?
Even
no,
when
I do
you're
not.
When you're riding a horse the right way,
it feels like you're about to be thrown.
Well, that, but it's also and, like it hurts your butt.
Well, it can. Yes. Also, you think,
and mine is padded, and
even
it still
those,
hurts.
Even those trained horses that they, you know, it's horseback riding.
Sure.
Place, go to the horseback riding place and pay money and ride the horse. Even those horses, you think, they could change their mind in a moment. They could. They could decide suddenly, you know what? I'm free to do what I want any old time. Goodbye, Ryder.
What, somebody could fire a starter pistol in the air and it's all over.
Yeah. Horrifying animals, but so beautiful. And such beautiful eyes. And when actors touch them on their horse face, mm-hmm. and the horse just looks at them like, I love you. You think, the horse does love them. And they love the horse. What a good movie this is. When the horse gets lost, or you get lost from the horse, or... You know, the horse gets injured and you nurse the horse back to health. Then the horse wins the Kentucky Derby or whatever.
Or the horse gets sent out to fight World War I.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Whatever the horse is called upon to do,
uh-huh.
provided it does not die.
Sure.
Like in Lean on Pete, which is
a great movie, but
A great movie I may never want to watch again.
Yeah.
Sorry for the Lean on Pete spoiler, you guys. The horse bites it in the middle of the movie. It's not even really about the horse.
No.
It's about the kid
yeah.
and his harrowing life.
Also hard to watch.
Also painful and sad. But the good horse movies,
uh-huh.
where the people and the horse
love each other.
Have a mutual understanding and love each other.
Gotcha.
Those movies are great all the time.
Yeah. Horses are your Christmas. Like, I acknowledge that my Christmas filter is very giving and very, very forgiving. And for you, it's horses.
Do I follow horse accounts on Twitter? No, I follow accounts about overweight cats.
Yes.
And puppies.
Right.
But you know what? A dog movie always ends in heartbreak. Those dogs die at the end.
Well, yeah.
Unless it's Beethoven.
Or they get reincarnated, like in the dog's life or whatever.
Right. But like, you watch, what's that movie with the dog?
oh, that one?
Marley and Me.
Oh, come on. That's, you're going
that
right
dog
for
the, has three funerals at the end
right
of that movie.
Right for the jugular, Marley and Me. We saw one of the hardest bitten LA film critics leave the room.
An unpleasant person.
Yes. like Mr. Wilson from Dennis the Menace times 10.
Breakdown and sobs.
Just
the press screen.
Couldn't
of Marley
even
and me.
Stay in the room for
Marley
and Me.
So, Old Yeller.
Sure. My dog Skip.
Benji, when they kick him and his little girlfriend dog, whatever her name was in the film. Something bad is always happening to a dog.
Yeah, is a dog's purpose the one where it keeps dying over and over again and reincarnating
yes.
as a different species?
It'd be a different dog.
Or a different breed?
Yeah.
Lord.
So, I'll take a horse movie.
Fair enough.
In this horse movie.
Yes. Dream Horse.
A sad town in Wales.
Yes.
Where everyone is sad.
Are they all unemployed? Or?
No, they're employed, but they're okay. Some of them are unemployed.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are employed, but they don't like the life that they have.
Okay.
So it's a small town in Wales. Everyone is sad. Toni Collette is the main sad person
right.
in the town. And when Toni Collette is sad...
Who, brother?
You will also be sad. You believe Toni Collette does whatever it is she's doing in the movie.
Yes. Worshipping Paimon.
Anything.
Singing Dancing Queen.
You follow Toni Collette to the end of cinema.
Down to the stony end,
and
yes.
you will never be disappointed. So.
Is she doing a Welsh accent?
Okay. Maybe?
As far as you
all
know.
Right.
Because she can do American.
The last Welsh person that I have encountered in the media was on the Great British Bake Off. And she's really from Wales and
yes.
has a Welsh accent.
Okay.
But Wales is not just one village.
No, it's sure.
You see. It's not just like Cardiff and three other small towns. Right? There's a lot of them.
Yes.
And here's what I know from having been in England for a while.
Every town has its own accent.
Every town has its own accent. There are as many accents in England as there are human beings.
Yeah, pretty much.
Within families, there are different dialects. And so...
Oh, I see. You speak with a Roland accent.
Oh, you're from upstairs, are you? I'm from downstairs. So do I know if she's doing
proper
a Welsh accent from whatever particular part of Wales her character lives in?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say yes, because I believe in everything Toni Collette does.
Absolutely. If she isn't, she's convinced you that she's doing it.
This is a true story, by the way.
Yeah, it was a documentary first.
Yeah.
Called Dark Horse.
I haven't seen the documentary.
At Sundance.
I've not seen the documentary. But now I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Everyone's sad. And Toni Collette thinks, what about a horse? How about...
What if horse?
What if I get a horse? How do I get a horse? What do I do to get a horse? So, she buys some horsey magazines.
Mm-hmm. Horse and Hounds?
She buys a book about horses that explains how to have a racehorse.
Hmm.
And how to do it and how to get it and how to get a trainer and how much money it costs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
She studies all... She does her own research.
Oh, and I know you like that.
She goes to the townspeople and she says, what if we all chip in 10 pounds a week to buy a horse as a group, an alliance?
Mm-hmm.
And she gets about a dozen people to join in. And it's like, you know, Damian
Lewis
from Homeland.
Yeah.
He used to have a racehorse, and he nearly lost everything. So much so that his wife is like, no more horses, or I leave you.
Oh.
So he has to go in on it in secret.
Oh.
You've got the old drunk guy from the pub,
mm-hmm.
whose pants are always falling down, but he's happy. He's drunk all the time.
Every town has one.
He goes in on it. You got the little old lady
mm-hmm.
who buys too many chocolate tea cakes. In her words, they're my only solace. She goes in on the horse. Everybody's in on the horse.
Okay.
They get the horse. They get the mare. They get a mare.
Of Easttown?
I don't know.
Okay.
Some mayor from somewhere.
Right.
All right. They take it to be stud serviced.
Mm-hmm.
They pay the fee for that. It makes a foal.
Look at you with the terminology.
They raise... I know things.
Okay.
They take it to the trainer. The trainer's like, yeah, this is not... You're not... This is never going to happen.
Right,
right. But you know what?
They have a dream.
It happens. And they name the horse Dream Alliance.
Mm.
Dream for short. Start racing the horse.
Mm-hmm.
First time they race it, comes in fourth. Mm. Everyone's really happy. And they keep racing it and keep racing it and keep racing it. And the horse is like, yeah, I'm fast. And it starts winning things. Then there's an injury. And I won't spoil the rest, but okay. I will say, this is a happy ending. and along the way...
It doesn't end with Toni Collette walking forlornly away from the glue factory.
No. Along the way, they do karaoke.
Sure.
In a pub. The old lady sings Gabrielle's Dreams, which is
nice.
Great.
And then, not since Magnolia.
Then, of course, they all sing... Delilah.
Because Wales.
Because Tom Jones is the actual Prince of Wales.
Yes.
And
the King. The King of Wales.
And again, there are no spoilers in this film, but it ends with the real people
Aww.
And the cast all singing Delilah together.
Oh, cute.
Again. Standing right next to each other. So that you can see how, like, they've
who they resemble.
They've made everybody look exactly like these people.
Didn't Queen of Katwe end with the actors standing next to the real people?
I think so. And so did the prize winner of Defiance, Ohio.
Yes, yes.
Most notably, because that's the one that'll really shred your heart. I saw DreamWorks, you guys.
I've been wanting that for you.
So. I've been wanting it for me. Getting vaccinated, that second shot, and then having that 2-week window, and then having that sort of freedom to have a friend over, and seeing Dream Horse.
That's your way back into the
world. Those were my two. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Someday it will come to our home on Blu-ray. You'll get to watch it.
Fair enough.
You're going to like it.
I'm sure I will. I got nothing against any of these folks. Damian Lewis, more recently, is the Billions guy. But yes, he is also the Homeland guy.
Which you haven't watched Billions.
I know.
Yeah.
So, two big movies launching this weekend. Officially or unofficially, sort of like, you know, hey, America, come back to theaters.
Yep.
The one that isn't streaming at all, so it is, you know, the you got to go see it in a theater if you can see it at all. Is A Quiet Place Part 2.
You were there for a press screening.
Yes.
I'm going to buy a ticket later this week.
Okay.
Go out to it. And
this was a movie that was like all poised to open when the lockdown happened. And weirdly enough, like if you saw this in a post-apocalyptic movie, you would think it was too on the nose. You would always see these pictures of like closed down movie theaters, and they would all have these giant A Quiet Place Part 2 banners on them.
Coming at the end of March.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like there was a billboard at like Sunset and Sweetser that for the longest time.
Just stayed up.
Yeah.
Haunting you.
Eerie.
Taunting you.
Tumbleweeds rolling in front of it. Anyway, so now this movie is out and about and it's really a thing. There is as you know from the trailer, there's a prologue that is a prequel, basically, taking you back to day one of this whole story. The premise is that aliens have invaded Earth and they track you by sound, not smell, not anything else. So, you know, you step on a twig and you're toast. So we get to see how the whole thing started, and you know, which obviously gives us a chance to get John Krasinski, who directed and wrote this time, back in the movie, since he did not do so hot at the end of the first Quiet Place. And so that's a good setup in terms of like introducing a new character that we meet this time, played by Cillian Murphy, and just being a really suspenseful and taut sequence. And then we jump ahead to day 474. And when that happened, I started quickly doing the math,
yep.
And I realized that it had been 437 days since I had seen a movie in a theater.
Yep.
So I was feeling the feelings. Anyway, so it's basically like, you know, it picks up right where the last one left off, and you know, I'm going to avoid spoilers. I will basically say that
Because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, so the movie very wisely does only the tiniest bit of expanding of the world as we see it. We don't get the full global sense of how this alien invasion has gone. They just move a little bit. The rings on the map go only a little bit further outward from where they've been this whole time. And they encounter, you know, new dilemmas. They encounter the possibility of expanding their abilities to fight back against the aliens, which were introduced in the first film. And I'll leave it at that, except to say that one of the things that the movie does really well is that it, by plot necessity, separates the characters, but by the quality of the editing, kind of makes everybody's separate travails feel of a piece with each other. They'll cut back and forth between where people are and what they're doing, and it all flows very smoothly. The editor is Michael P. Shaver, who cut Black Panther, who cut Creed, who cut Godzilla King of the Monsters, which we liked. So he does, I want to point out, he's amazing in this. The performances are you know, still really great. Like Emily Blunt is dynamite in these. Millicent Simmons and Noah Jupe, I think, are really talented young actors, and they have because so much of this movie is a non-dialogue, you know, reliant. They have very open faces, and they are able to express a lot. Simmons, of course, is deaf herself. You know, she was in Todd Haynes's Wonderstruck,
right?
And you know, she's amazing. I have really admired both of these kids in other films.
Yeah,
and I think these movies really bring out, you know, a whole new level of sort of empathy for them. So yeah, I liked it a lot, and I think I might even like it more than the first one, just because the first one, the experience of watching it was amazing, just because, like, how do you make a paying movie audience be quiet? Like they managed to work out that magic. But then I remember afterwards being like, wait a minute, why did the, and how did the, and how come the, you know? But this one feels more of a piece. Although when we reviewed it on Breakfast All Day, Christy had one question. I was like, oh yeah, I don't really know why that thing happened, but okay, I'll go with it.
As I said, I'm going to go see it this week.
Yeah.
I will be taking friend and neighbor Gary Cotty, because when he said he wanted to go with me, I said no. And he goes, why? And I said, because you are the person who, like in the old Peanuts cartoons, when someone yells at someone and they just do a flip in the air.
Yes.
Okay. That's what he does at every jump scare of every movie. And he's like, well, I saw A Quiet Place 1 with you. And I said, no, you didn't. He goes, yes, I did.
And he was quiet.
No, he wasn't. He was all flipping out then, too.
No, but he said that he and I, every time something scary is about to happen, we both clamped our hands over our mouths.
It's a movie that's about freaking you out and making you jump. And so
yeah.
I'm happy to accompany my scaredy cat friend to see this movie this week.
Yes, Dave, you're so tough about jump scares.
I really am.
We all admire how manly you are.
Bulletproof, really.
Please.
Unless it's about the daytime killer.
Or if something's going to happen to the horse.
Something's going to happen to the horse. See. Where was I going with this? Do they address my lingering issues with the first film?
Which are?
Sneezing, farting, and the noise that I make when I have a nightmare, which is in my sleep.
No, and no.
Because you see, in real life, this happened, I would be dead immediately.
Oh, sure.
Because when I have a night, when I have a bad dream, I wake up yelling.
Yes.
And
you wake me up
yelling. And we would have to live, we would have to hide in a bunker, a soundproof bunker.
You would have to sleep in like an astronaut helmet.
Yeah. And I don't have them every night.
No.
But, you know, every few months, I have a good one.
Mm.
And I sadly, unfortunately, wake you up.
It's okay.
Well, yeah, you married it. So. Yeah.
Too late to do anything about it now.
That's correct.
The other big please come back to theaters, or if not, pay a whole bunch of money and watch it on Disney Plus movie.
30 bucks?
Is it 30?
Isn't it?
Criminy. Is Cruella, which is a movie that is causing a lot of really fascinating conversation out there in the public. Yeah, we checked. It's 30 bucks. But you know what? If you're a parent and
got a gang of kids,
yeah, and you know you want to,
and one of them's gay,
it's easier to make your own popcorn at home. Then you know, here you go. Yes, this is the movie for gay 8-year-olds, as I said on the wrap, and I stand by it. But yeah, I have seen so much. Like, there's the who is this movie even for conversation. Then there's the like female critic saying, why are we asking who is this movie even for? Just because it's not for, like, you know, straight men.
Right.
And then
the other critics who are like, this film is an atrocity.
Yes. And is this even appropriate for children? And then, but it's PG-13. Should it have to be appropriate for children? And,
right.
And on and on and on.
From Craig Gillespie.
Yes. The I, Tonya director.
Uh-huh. and starring Emma Stone, Emma Thompson, Joel Fry, Paul Walter Hauser, John McCrae, who I wasn't really familiar with before.
Yes.
Mark Strong, as not a lot.
As our friend Dr. Steve put it, Mark Strong as Stanley Tucci in The Devil Wears Prada.
Right. Kevin Novak from What We Do in the Shadows.
Ah.
He's the lawyer, Roger. And Kirby Howell-Baptiste as Anita Darling.
Anita Darling.
Now, we'll get to those two in a minute.
Yes.
Because they figure into what's certainly going to be a sequel.
Well, sure.
Emma Stone, born... Estella.
Estella.
Estella, born with hair that is half black and half white, split down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Is a headstrong child. She cannot be told what to do or when to do it. She does not like to be treated badly. If she is treated badly, she will punch you in the face.
Her Estella's Cruella personality will emerge.
A nickname given to her by her mother.
Yes.
When her mother realizes that she has a handful for her child. And when Estella is particularly mean to other people, her mother says, "No, no. We're Estella, not Cruella." Yeah. Times are tough, and they decide that they have to move to London so that the mother can start over, and so can Estella. She has already expressed the desire to be a fashion designer when she grows up, and her mother says, "Well, we'll do that in London."
It's 1964, and she is already adorning her like school blazer with safety pins.
Yeah,
so clearly she's a visionary.
Right. And they get to, on the way to London, they stop at a very, 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 very fancy party, costume party. And the mother has to go off and talk to a person, an unknown person at the party about some monetary help. She's turned away. The party host turns some Dalmatian dogs on them. The dogs attack the mother, knock her over a cliff. She dies. Estella is 8, 9. She's on her own.
She feels guilt-ridden about this because she thought the dogs were coming after her and they got the mother by mistake.
Right. She feels like she killed her mother.
Yes.
She goes to London. She meets two other, kid orphans who are now,
scrappy thieves.
Yeah. They're pickpockets, and so they teach her how to be a pickpocket. And
Horace and Jasper.
They learn together. They become a trio of friends who take care of each other and live in an empty...
They squat
in an old building. Estella grows up. Just goes to work for Liberty of London. One night, hating her job,
As a cleaning woman,
she decides to go take on the Liberty of London store windows and mannequins, does to them whatever she feels like doing to them, and the next person we see after she is told that she's fired, the next person we see is a woman named the Baroness, played by Emma Thompson. Emma Thompson comes in and says, "Who did that window?" And the store owner's like, "Don't mind. Don't worry, we got rid of that person." She's like, "Bring her to me. She's hired." Estella goes to work for the Baroness. And then an All About Eve sort of thing starts happening. We learn some incredibly hideous, terrible things about the Baroness as they relate to Estella. Along the way, Estella meets a shop owner named Artie, played by John McCrae, who becomes sort of her muse.
And collaborator.
Muse and collaborator. And he is glam, rock, gay.
Androgynous.
Velvet, gold mine, everything.
Bowie, Mark Bolan.
Yeah. And then more stuff happens. And so... if I tell you all the stuff that happens, we would be here for another hour, because there's one thing this film is not, and it is
short,
short or lacking in
incidents
stuff. In fact, every few seconds, some new thing is happening, and some of it is quite loud, and all of it is accompanied by
some really on-the-nose needle drops.
Relentless, endless needle drops of the pop music of the era from the 60s to the 70s.
Some maybe even ahead of its time.
Maybe. I don't know how.
Christy got annoyed by the use of Should I Stay or Should I Go, which is like 1981 or something.
That's true. You're right. That is
funny. But like I said, look, it's a Disney movie, and they had to get a punk song in there. That's the one they're
going to use. That's the one you're going to use, yeah. So, along the way, Emma Stone, would you call what she's doing a British accent? I would say it is
universally posh.
Mid-Atlantic by way of, you know, Betty Davis and several Spice Girls, but also sort of this darling, sort of glamour, laid back.
Because this is an origin story, and very often in these things, they feel the need to let you know where every single facet of someone's personality came from. We get a clip early on where Estella catches Tallulah Bankhead in Lifeboat.
Yes.
And the laugh. Right. And it's like, okay, well, that's going to be a brand upon her brain.
We come to the understanding that there are some things that are intrinsic to Estella / Cruella and some things that are appropriated. Like, she just takes things on, right? Mm. And that becomes a problem over the course of the film with learning why she is how she is.
Right.
Right? Like, what's part of her personality versus what is something that she has simply taken on as a glamorous artifice?
Sure.
And that is a problem if you are dealing with a character that has been invented out of, you know, thin air. We already have so much received information about this character dating all the way back to the 1961 animated Disney film.
And the novel before
it. And the novel before it, which, who's read the novel before it?
Me.
Did you really?
As a kid, yes. Okay. I did.
The
novel's Cruella is even crazier. Oh, like, she drinks ink. You know, I think one of the things that people are flipping out about this movie is that, like, oh, why are we putting, like, a kind face on this dog killer? This Cruella
is not a dog killer.
In fact, dogs
are friends.
Doting doggy mommy. She doesn't like Dalmatians because they killed her mother.
Right.
But even by the end of the film, she finds a certain rapprochement with them as well.
Right.
And there is a moment in which she puts on a fashion show in which she is wearing an outfit that would appear to be the skin of Dalmatians, while her Artie, is that the character's name?
Yes.
Well, Artie sings "Now I Want to Be Your Dog."
Right.
But the movie makes it very clear that she is not skinning puppies.
Yeah, she doesn't smoke and she doesn't kill the puppies or skin animals a lot.
Right.
Which makes me wonder if they are painting themselves into a corner with this character, because obviously there wants to be a sequel.
Yes.
The people who own the dogs, who own the Dalmatians in the Disney animated feature.
Yes, Roger and Anita.
Are named Roger and Anita. So clearly Roger, the lawyer for the Baroness, and Anita, the gossip journalist.
Yes.
Fashion journalist. They're going to get together.
Yes.
For the next movie. You know this. Well, this is just what's going to happen.
And in this version, like, because the canonically, they meet in the park. They're walking right. Their respective Dalmatians.
Yes.
In this one, like, Cruella is clearly orchestrating this to happen.
Yeah.
As I said in my review, if Batman can be Adam West doing the Watusi, or the Batusi, and, like, you know, Christian Bale having an existential crisis.
Right.
Then if they want to recalibrate Cruella as a larger-than-life, misunderstood Vivian Westwood type,
yes,
who actually likes dogs,
yeah,
And then they can figure out what the further adventures of that character is?
Right.
Sure, why not?
Okay, I guess that makes sense. I've been reading. So you and I saw this film this past week.
Yeah.
And I've been reading some insanely angry negative reviews about this film. And I'm thinking, wait a second. Alonzo Duralde is right. In your review for The Wrap, you referred to it as Disney's Derek Jarman's Jubilee for gay 8-year-olds.
Thank you.
First of all, there are some costumes in this film that are flabbergasting.
Yes.
And
their architecture.
They are, of course, influenced by Vivian Westwood and Alexander McQueen. But they are also their own thing. And there's one of them in particular that I will not spoil. There's one of them in particular that blew my mind when it happened.
Yes.
And so,
when it reached full flower.
Yeah. So you hit it on the head. This is for little queer kids who need and want a larger than life
camp diva.
Yeah. And who, you know, might grow up to be fashion designers, might grow up to be drag queens, might grow up to simply love this kind of thing.
Yes. And I think young girls who are interested in fashion and, you know, mm-hmm. sort of extreme fashion history already.
Yep.
I think we'll find a lot to like here too.
I also believe that Disney is demonic for relentlessly mining their own properties.
Sure.
For endless remakes, reboots, and sequels, when they should be creating new stuff for future generations.
Yes.
To love, but they are currently not in that business.
Yeah.
So part of me looks at this as an object and says, why? But then I see the entire finished film, and yeah, it's on the nose. And yeah, it's too long. It's too long. And yeah, it's not subversive in any way at all. It's meant to be the family-friendly version of some pretty extreme things.
Yeah.
Having said that, it's entertaining. And if I were 8, I would clutch it to my bosom.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I was thinking about the North Avenue Irregulars.
Yep.
A movie that hasn't aged particularly well. When I've gone back and rewatched it.
Not at all. I watched it again with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But as a child, just getting to see all of those women be funny and be physical and be outrageous and be at the center of the story.
Yeah.
Was a cool sort of introduction to me of what would my comedic sensibilities be, which is like, you know, women who are showbiz veterans who are like having a ball.
Right.
And having a great time and getting to be centered in the action. And generally, that's the sort of thing that you had to see on television. Movies were not interested in how middle-aged women were going to fight off, you know, a bunch of mobsters. But here was a Disney movie showing that to me, and I ate it up with a spoon.
Yeah. There is, you know, also the problem of, you know, we mentioned All About Eve earlier, mm-hmm. you know. The idea that, you know, one woman has to be a villain and suffer so that the other one can rise up and take her place. There's not room for both, you know.
Right, but the woman being supplanted has done some very despicable things.
In this
things.
Movie, the woman who's being supplanted has done some really hideous, awful things.
Yeah.
And again, we won't tell you
and,
what they are.
And until she receives her just desserts, she's fabulous.
I really do love Emma Thompson's take on this character because it's like Phantom Thread, but also, must I be here? You know?
Yeah, that's, I said half Miranda Priestley, half Reynolds Woodcock.
Yeah. You know?
And well, again, like, for the gay 8-year-olds who haven't seen either of those movies, this will be a revelation.
There's an element, but what I'm getting at is there's an element of tired of it all.
Yes.
You know? So, I like that quality. Emma Thompson could do anything.
And I think also it's the thing where, like, usually that we think of the Disney villain along the lines of a Cruella character or Ursula or, you know, Madame Mim or whatever, who, like, gleefully, cacklingly evil.
Right.
And we have that in this movie with Cruella. So, of course, her nemesis is going to be, like, despicable but soigné.
So I think you and I are in the minority of sort of at least halfway digging this.
Well, I think then that this will be a cult movie because if the people who don't like it aren't going to like it, but the people who like it are going to
grow up and keep loving it.
Yeah, and dress as it for Halloween and the whole thing. Yes, I agree with you. Disney's ransacking of its own, you know, intellectual property is often tedious. But I think when you hire the guy who made I, Tonya to make a movie that's going to rehabilitate one of your most famous villainesses, you know, you're already on the right track to like something interesting. And then when you're setting it opposite, you know, or in the back with the backdrop of like the 1970s punk fashion explosion in London,
right,
that's also interesting. So, you know, I think they're not phoning this one in. They're trying to do something.
Right. Right.
Whether or not you think it succeeds is something else, but they are trying.
And I've already been hearing from friends who are horny for Paul Walter Hauser.
Well, when he like has the like the very punk short bright orange hair,
he is adorably round, and
it's like two Johnny Rottens.
and I want to say that his British accent is not bad.
And better than you'd think.
Yeah.
Because I've only ever seen him play like deeply Southern characters in I, Tonya and Richard Jewell, you know.
It's like, I think he
went into it. I don't even know what he actually talks like.
I don't either, but I think he went into it thinking, Dick Van Dyke, but good? You know?
Yes.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right.
That's it. We have a...
Well, I have a DVD.
Do you? Ooh, I'll think of one while you're talking.
Well, the documentary, Wonarovich, is out on DVD.
Yes.
And probably streaming as well.
I believe it is.
F-U effing effer. Or rather, F-U F-word slur for gay man effer.
Effer, yes.
Yeah. That's the name of that movie. It's a documentary about David Wonarovich, influential and important queer artist of the 1980s who sadly died from AIDS in the early 90s.
Yes.
And about how his work caused firestorms of controversy in his life and after his life among people who refused to get it.
Yeah. I think when we reviewed it on the show, I said I thought I never wanted to see another movie about the New York Underground of the 1980s, but I really liked this one.
Now you saw this one.
Yeah. And it I think is also in the pantheon of sort of great AIDS documentaries because his visual work and his writing were, for me certainly, and for a lot of people, I think essential kind of, you know, bursts of rage during that period. Yes, my DVD pick, it's coming out this Friday. The documentary, Who is Harry Nilsson and Why is Everybody Talking About Him?
Oh.
Talking about him. And it is a really beautifully done documentary about the legendary singer-songwriter. We complain a lot about movies about living artists that feel like extended infomercials for the artist.
Right.
But, you know, because Nilsson is long dead, this film is sort of able to be like, here's the great stuff and here's the not so great stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a fascinating life story. His music was really great and certainly lives on. And if, like me, you are a big fan of Skidoo, you get some amazing footage of him and Otto Preminger in a Nehru jacket going on Playboy After Dark to promote the film. That in itself makes the movie worth watching, but everything about it is really fascinating. I'm thrilled we got to see it during its brief LA run, and it is now out on Blu-ray. I recommend it.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
For those of you who are Patreon people, you will hear our Linoleum Knife presents more Linoleum Knife episode about the 1967 French drama La Piscine.
Yes, which is the other movie that you saw this week that was my first time out
into, right.
back into a public theater.
And I
must say, if you want to go back to the movies and you're worried there's going to be a lot of people in your theater,
go
watch a restoration of a French 1960s film. You'll see about six people there in the house, if you're lucky.
That is correct. That's how we've been working it. Patreon also has other things. Depending
yes.
on your subscription level, you get LKRX, a daily cultural recommendation. I screwed up this past week. I only posted like 3 days out of five. I'm a dummy. I'm gonna make it up to them. You know?
Okay.
The week. Listen, the week got away from me.
My back hurts. It happens. I understand.
My legs hurt. So do my back. My mini backs. LKTV. Is a podcast about television.
Yes.
Linoleum Knife and Fork is a podcast about how they make grape nuts.
Among other pressing food topics.
That is what we talked about for a good long time this week on Linoleum Knife and Fork. How do they make grape nuts?
The answer will shock you.
What are grape nuts? We learned what they were.
Oh, yeah.
And how they come to be.
Yes.
And it is laughably simple.
Mm.
Anyway... Then there's the show called Linoleum Nights, where we use swears.
Yes.
And where just this past week we had the monthly Ask Us Anything episode. And
we have so many questions left over, we might just do a second one.
There are a lot of questions left over. We talked about what Looney Tunes character is best at sex?
For instance, we
didn't come up with that question. It was given
to
us. It
was asked, and we tried our best to
solid and strong opinions.
Yes.
About which Looney Tunes character.
Also, we have...
would give you the true Space Jam.
We have... Oh, ouch. We have monthly club meetings where we all get together and stream a movie.
That actually doesn't even make any sense in a sexual context.
It doesn't, but it's still...
But I thought it sounded...
You landed that plane.
Evocative anyway.
Got something like a Bacon Herfield. We have a monthly club meeting where we watch a movie together streaming, and then we talk about it as it's running on Discord. Lots of other cool stuff, so you really ought to check out patreon.com/linoleumknife. The people who already have seem to be glad they did, and maybe you will be too. So that's our show. Thanks for listening. Check out, first of all, please go listen to the other shows that I do, including... A Film and a Movie, which is wrapping up soon. We're taking this week off. We're recording one final episode on Monday the 7th with the wonderful Guinevere Turner, which I'm very excited about. But then we're wrapping up for now anyway. But if you haven't been checking that show, it's been a lot of fun to do, and you know, they'll still be available online, and you should go listen to them. Dave's even on one episode. I'm also available every week on Breakfast All Day, and on Mondays you can hear me on Deck the Hallmark podcast. So yeah, there's just plenty going on. And check out our friends on the internet also. Go see what Bibbs and Whitney are up to over at the Critically Acclaimed Network. Listen to The Schmoes Know, to Dennis Anyone with Dennis Hensley, The Comics Canon, Sewers of Paris, All Things Cozy, The Workroom, Big Fat Gay Podcast, Fat Guys at the Movies, The Criterion Cast, Secretly Timid, and lots of other great shows out there. They're all, you know, there's a lot of amazing podcasts that are all fighting for your time, heaven knows. You can subscribe to this show for free at Apple Podcasts. Leave us that 5-star review. We will read it on the air. You can also leave us positive feedback in the many places that we stream, including Spotify and Stitcher Radio and Amazon Music, Google Play, CastBox, Podbean. Thank you, Blue, for our wonderful theme music. Go listen to his work over at Bandcamp.com. He is BLEU. You can follow us on the social media at LinoleumCast and drop us an email at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. If you are listening to this on your holiday weekend, enjoy your holiday weekend. If not, have a great week. We will catch up with you next time. And until then,
goodbye.